Hello and welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldick, an inspirational and informative half hour of insight into the heart of Scripture. In addition to teaching the Bible, Les is a full-time rancher, having a down-to-earth practical teaching style that makes the Bible come to life. All programs are available on audio tape, videotape, and in printed form. At the end of the program, there will be an address where you can contact the ministry. And now, here's Les Feldick with today's lesson.
Okay, good to have everybody, and once again, we're going to pick up where we left off in Galatians chapter 2. Now, we're going to take just a moment here in Galatians, and then we're going to go back and pick up Luke's account of this same meeting back in Acts 15. But first, once more, Galatians chapter 2, dropping in at verse 6 now. We just finished verse 5. Now in verse 6, but of these who seemed to be somewhat. Now read that carefully. What does that tell you? These who seemed to be somewhat. What does that imply? Hey, they're not what they thought they were. Now, I'm not being disrespectful of Peter and the 11. No way. I'm going to be just as anxious to see Peter and James and John and the rest of them as anybody else. But in the whole economy of things, here they have been promoting Christ as the Messiah of Israel and His coming kingship and His kingdom, but Israel is rejecting Him. Well, that wasn't Peter's fault. He'd done all he could. He preached his heart out all through those early chapters of Acts, but Israel rejected it. They could not believe that anything good came out of Nazareth. Well, in God's divine purposes then, as Israel kept slipping and slipping and slipping away in unbelief, then naturally Peter and the 11 and these Jewish leaders of Jerusalem were losing their clout because the whole system was, as I've said so often, falling through the cracks. But God isn't going to be out of it. So as Israel is slipping and in unbelief, rejecting all this, God has now turned to what people? Well, the Gentile. And so as the Jews are going down, the Gentiles are coming out. And this, of course, is Paul's ministry. And so in verse 6 then, those who seemed to be somewhat had to be the 12 and the elders of the congregation at Jerusalem, but they no longer had the power rightfully as God had entrusted it to them. They no longer have. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Come back to the book of Acts. I wasn't going to do this, honey, but let's go all the way back to chapter 4. Yeah, Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And again, watch every word of this. Here we are. Oh, let's go up to verse 32. And of course, much the same thing as took place in chapter 2, where they begin to have all things common, and they lived out of what I called the common kitty. All right, now it's still operating in chapter 4, which is probably a year or two later. And the multitude of them that believed, that is of these Jews now at Jerusalem, the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. In other words, they took all their wealth, whatever they had, and they brought it into a common kitty, and with great power gave the apostles... What did they have? Power. Don't miss that. With great power, the apostles... See that? Gave witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Now you want to remember, there's thousands. You had what? 3,000 on the day of Pentecost? Others ever since? So there's thousands of these Jewish believers now that are all living out of that common kitty. And I imagine it was a pretty big chunk of money. All right? Verse 34. Neither was there any that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid the money, the prices, laid the money at whose feet? The apostles. Why? They were in control. They were the leadership. All right, and so verse 35, they laid them at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man of all these thousands of Jews now who had come from every nation under heaven, and they were now staying in Jerusalem waiting for the king that thought surely that he'd be coming at any moment. Verse 36, and Jose, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, same one, same Barnabas that's now in Galatians 2, has hooked up with Paul. And so the apostles, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country or the island of Cyprus, having land on Cyprus, of course, sold it and brought the money and laid it where? At the apostles' feet. Even Barnabas, see, that good man who was probably coming up in the leadership, he too laid every penny of what he had gotten for his sold real estate at the feet of the apostles. They were in control. They were the leadership. All right, now it's these same apostles, come back to Galatians 2, it's these same apostles that Paul, by inspiration, this isn't just Paul getting back at them. This is Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it's for our purposes that it's said, now these who seemed to be somewhat, they no longer had that kind of authority that they had in the early years. It was slipping away. And whatsoever they were, now in parenthesis, see, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. So in the final analysis, in God's view, Peter was no greater than anybody else, see? And Paul is always saying, I'm the least, all right? For they who seemed to be somewhat. Now, whenever you see Scripture repeat something in a short order, what have I always told you? Emphasis! He's driving the point home that these men no longer had the preeminence of God's dealing with the human race that they had enjoyed back in the earthly ministry and in the early days of Acts. It was slipping away. All right, so these who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Why? Because they had no comprehension of these revelations that the Apostle Paul had been receiving from the ascended Lord. They knew Jesus in the flesh. They knew Jesus that 40 days in Acts after his resurrection, of course. But they knew nothing of the ascended Lord. And this is where Paul has received all of his, from the ascended Lord in glory. All right, now one more verse, and we got to go back to Acts 15. But contrarywise, or on the other hand, when they, the 12 in particular, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, now watch this, when the gospel of the uncircumcision, now what's the synonymous word with uncircumcision? Well, the Gentile, put it in there. You won't be destroying Scripture. So when the gospel of the Gentile was committed unto me as the gospel of the Jew, the circumcision, was committed unto who? Peter. Now, you know that. We saw that four programs ago. Jesus chose the 12, and he commanded them not to go to a Gentile, but go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So the 12 were apostles of what people? Israel. You know, I've said as long as I've been teaching, you can't show me one record from Scripture. Now, I'm not going to go by legends or anything like that. But you cannot show me from Scripture that these 12 men ever had a ministry among Gentiles. Now, I'm not going to take away the fact that they may have visited. We know Peter went up to Antioch. But to actually have a ministry amongst the Gentiles, there's not a word of record in this book. They were the apostles of Israel, and they understood that. A lot of people today don't, but those 12 men did. And so now then, Paul says that they are now beginning to understand, see, that as he was given the gospel for the Gentile, it was from the same God and with the same kind of authority that they had received the gospel of the circumcision or the Jew, which was, of course, we've seen so often, the gospel of the kingdom. All right, now I'll come back to Acts chapter 15 for a moment. And as we mentioned in an earlier program, you see, Acts 15 is Luke's account. And Galatians, of course, is Paul's account in the first person. But now look what Luke writes in Acts 15. We already looked at a few of the early verses in the chapter. But let's jump in at verse 5, the one we looked at, I think, in the first half hour this afternoon. Acts 15, verse 5. But in the midst of all of this disputation over whether Gentiles had to be circumcised and keep the law, there rose up certain of the sect of Pharisees who believed, saying it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter. Now, verse 7. And when there had been, past tense, much disputing. Now, I don't know how long this went on. And with, again, no disrespect to our Jewish people, yet have you ever seen two or three Jews get into an argument? I'll tell you what, it's interesting. I know we've had it happen in the hotel in Jerusalem. And even though we couldn't understand a word they said, I know the fur would like to have flown because they can really get after it. And I'll bet they did here. There was much disputing. And they weren't making any bones about what they believed. All right, now read on. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up. Now, I like to make a point of words. If he rose up, where must he have been? Sitting. Now, in all the midst of this disputing, I have to think that these Jews weren't just sitting in a conference room. They were standing. They were nose to nose, and they were going at this tooth and toenail. And Paul, you remember in Galatians, said he would not give in for a minute. And then all of a sudden, Peter, who had been over there nonchalant, just sort of taking it all in and not all that interested, finally the Holy Spirit nudges him and says, Peter, get up. Come on now, speak up. And so that's what happened. Peter rose up and he said, men and brethren, now remember, Peter is still the chief apostle. And when Peter spoke, what was the old commercial? They listened. All right. And so Peter rose up and said, men and brethren, we know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. What's he referring to? Chapter 10 of Acts, the house of Cornelius. And you all remember that account. How that Peter and six other Jewish believers went up to that Gentile home of the Roman officer, centurion, Cornelius. And while Peter hadn't even finished preaching, hadn't said a word yet about repenting and being baptized, what happened? Oh, the Holy Spirit came down and signified to those seven Jews that these Gentiles had become believers. Without an invitation, without walking an aisle, without repenting, without baptizing, all of a sudden Peter was just stopped in his tracks. And here these men are evidencing their salvation by faith and faith alone. Not yet Paul's gospel, only that Jesus was the Christ, but they had believed it. And the Holy Spirit came upon those Gentiles, evidenced with tongues, which was a manifestation that the Holy Spirit had come upon them. And Peter had to just stop. He flabbergasted. Hey, this isn't the right order. This isn't the way it's supposed to go. My goodness, I should have been able to say, well, have you repented? I have to be able to baptize you. And then the Holy Spirit would come. But none of that happened. And while he was yet preaching, you're looking at me with kind of a blank stare. It's been a long time, hasn't it? Let's come back to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Peter is in the home of Cornelius. And we don't know how many Gentiles, how many Romans were there. It was a household, so it couldn't have held that many. It was probably his immediate family and maybe some of his closest Roman officers or what, I don't know. But anyhow, Peter has now been preaching and hasn't said a word about the work of the cross for salvation by his shed blood like Paul would have done. But all Peter can rehearse is that this Jesus of Nazareth, who had appeared to the nation of Israel, had now been crucified, killed, but had been raised from the dead and was alive. All right, now verse 43 of Acts chapter 10. And to him, Peter says, give all the prophets witness. In other words, it was foretold all the way up through Scripture that through his name, see, not through his work of the cross. That's what I always have to point out. Peter as yet does not know Paul's gospel. But Peter does know that the name of Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, the Son of God, was the vehicle for salvation. And so he says that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. He hasn't said a word about repenting. He hasn't said a word about baptizing. But look what happened. And while Peter yet spake. See, the scripture is so descriptive. Here he's still preaching at him. And while he's still preaching, lo and behold, the Holy Spirit fell on all them who heard the word. Why? They had become believers. See? That's all. They had believed what Peter was saying. And then verse 45, they of the circumcision. Now you have to go over to chapter 11 to find out that there were six Jews that went with Peter. So for the seven Jews, they of the circumcision who believed were astonished. Now, you know, when we taught this in Acts, I made a point of that one word. Hey, if Gentiles have been saved for the last 6, 7, 8 years, why be astonished? But they haven't been. This is the first instance. And it was an astonishing fact that Gentiles could be saved without adhering to the ritual of Judaism and proselytizing and all the rest of it. But, oh, no, here they are. They believed, the Holy Spirit manifested their faith, and then Peter had to hurry up and try to get the horse back up in front of the cart, you know. And so what does he say? Oh, we got to baptize him. Well, that sounds familiar too, doesn't it? And so he says, can any man forbid water that these should be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit? Now, let's go back. We got to compare Scripture with Scripture. You won't know what I'm driving at. Come back to chapter 2. I'm kind of doing this backwards, too, but hopefully it'll work. Now you come back to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And it's obvious what it says. I mean, you don't have to be a theologian. Anybody can understand what this verse says. It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And then the next step would be what? The remission of sins. And then the next step, what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, you don't have to be a seminary professor to understand that. That was the criteria. They were to repent. They were to be baptized, that is, in water. They would receive forgiveness of sin, and then the Holy Spirit would come upon them. The fourth step. Now, come back to chapter 10 and see how that's been totally reversed when you get into the Gentile economy. Now remember, this is just the first step of opening the door to Gentiles. Verse 44 again of chapter 10. Repetition, I know, but it's the only way people learn. While Peter yet spake. See? And like I said a moment ago, he hadn't said a word about repentance. He hadn't said a word about baptism. And while he spoke, merely concerning who Jesus was, what had happened to him, how he had risen from the dead, they believed it, and the Holy Spirit came upon them as evidence of their faith. Without baptism, see, without repentance, What did they do? They believed. They believe. And that's Paul's gospel, but this is merely the beginning of it. And so now come back to Acts chapter 15, and this is what Peter is making reference to. May have to hurry yet. I don't know how much time I have left. But anyway, let's get back to Acts chapter 15. And now Peter rose up and said, a good while ago. I'm in verse 7. How long ago? 12 years. According to my reckoning, 12 years have elapsed. Now, normally, you would think that when Peter and those six Jews saw what could happen if you would just approach Gentiles with the gospel, they would have just gone out across the Roman Empire. But they didn't. Where'd they go? Back to Jerusalem. And when they got there, they got called on the carpet for going to Gentiles. Really? They got called on the carpet. You went into men uncircumcised. Peter, you know better than that. And then Peter had to calm them down, you know, and said, well, now, wait a minute. God showed us that he was in it. But then they all forgot about it. For 12 years, there was another mention of these Gentiles in the house of Cornelius being saved. Until now. Now, you know, here's where I like the sovereign working of a sovereign God. I maintain that, yes, God wanted the house of Cornelius, absolutely. But what was the bigger purpose? To come to Paul's defense in this council in Jerusalem. If Peter would not have remembered what happened at the house of Cornelius, they never would have let Paul go back to Antioch with freedom to preach his gospel. They would have chased him, as they even did anyway, but they would have plagued him every inch of the way. But they did not, because Peter realized, hey, 12 years ago, God showed me that he could save Gentiles without going through all of what we demand. Now look at it again in the text. Verse 7 of Acts 15. Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago, and in that interval, not a word has been spoken to Gentiles. God made choice among us, that is, Peter himself, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and what? Believe. See? Doesn't say repent and be baptized. It says that they should believe. Verse 8, and God who knoweth the hearts, bear them witness to show Peter that God had done it, purifying their hearts by faith. Now then, Peter says, in recollection, in realizing what God tried to show me, now therefore, why tempt or test God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples or the believers, these followers up in Antioch is who we're dealing with. Why put a yoke upon those people which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? That was the law. It was a burden, see? And then verse 11, Peter says, Paul's right. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Now, all the multitude, of course, in verse 12, kept silence. Now I'm going to make a comment. As we go back to Galatians, turn back to Galatians, we only got a minute left. I'm sure that Peter forgot 90% of what he said in that verse in the years to come, because he still could not give in to the fact that Paul's gospel had now superseded his position. That's why he writes in his little epistle of 2 Peter, that even as our beloved brother Paul hath written in all his epistles, in which are some things, what? Hard to be understood. All right, so now then, we only got a matter of seconds left. And so now then, you come down to verse 9. 15 seconds. I'm going to read it fast. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go to the Gentiles. And they, Peter, James, and John, would go to the Jew.
Thank you for joining us again for Through the Bible with Les Feldick. If you'd like to order audio tapes, videos, or any of our printed material, you may do so by writing Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. That's Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or you can call us toll-free if you'd like at 1-800-369-7856. That's 1-800-369-7856. Remember, this is a faith ministry, and your participation with us is greatly appreciated. Again, our address is Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. And our phone is 1-800-369-7856. Thanks again for listening, and please join us next time for Through the Bible with Les Feldick.